In my talk, I'm going to speak a little bit more about architecture. That's what really matters for me, as you already heard from Michael Timon yesterday from Red Hat. The second part will then be about Mono or .NET for Linux. And I think I have quite another approach. I don't want to change anything. I just want to have a better architecture. So my main point is choice is good. Many Linux distributions, many programming languages, many desktop frameworks, many component models, many open source databases, many application servers, many web development frameworks, I know hundreds of them, many high availability and clustering frameworks, many network management and system administration frameworks, many security tools, many development tools like Eclipse, Kdevelop, MonoDevelop, or even Emacs. This foil is terrible, but I just want to make a point. Already just listing that, you see that we have a lot of things. We have choice is still good, for example, for calendaring solutions. These were just open source solutions. Now we look at what we have when we have choice with open source and closed source. In the calendaring arena, for example, groupware or open groupware, Exchange for Linux, or a lot of these commercial things like Oracle Collaboration Suite, Samsung Contact, you name it. So choice is good, but choice without architecture is a nightmare. And it really, I think I had a vision 15 years ago when I began to consider open source and free software. And I think not a lot happened since then on a pure Unix level. I think these things happen at other places, but I want to get it back to the world where it belongs. Let's see what it means to have a lot of components and whatever, but without architecture. For example, we have no component or plugin interoperability framework. Just look at the GNOME programs on the desktops. Almost everyone has an own plugin loading mechanism. GIMP has one, you name it. This is a nightmare in my view. Have you ever tried to embed an Eclipse plugin in Kdevelop or GIMP? I mean, you can ask, why should I do that? Well, because you have a lot of interesting development in the Eclipse world and also in GIMP. Why not mix this stuff? What I feel is kind of universal plugin container needed. There are prototypes today like Eclipse, which really builds an industry around it. There is OpenOffice, which you can consider as a such framework, or Mozilla. But each has its own component model. And if you begin to mix all this stuff, you load a lot of code into your framework. MonoDevelop, which may surprise you, is not just a development environment, it's indeed a plugin loading environment, almost like Eclipse, but nobody is using it that way. So no plugin component interoperability framework, no standard language in mixing. What Parrot tries here to do, I mean, it's just the one approach, I mean, the holy grail, so to say, to have a universal virtual machine, one which is, of course, controlled by the free software community and not by companies. So you can do that, but you have to convince each of these communities to reprogram their interpreter on this universal virtual machine. On the Java side, a lot of this has already been done with Triton, for example, or JRuby, or maybe you know IronPython, which is a Python implementation on .NET or Mono, so it's yet another implementation. I think Python right now is the language which has, in the free software world, most implementations. I know, I think, five or so on different virtual machines. These are just two approaches. Personally, I think I don't want to bother the communities of changing their way of thinking. I prefer to bridge these technologies. You can do that with native interfaces. Almost all have them. In the Java world, you can call C routines. You can load the Python interpreter for that, for example, and just get calls into the other interpreter. Another approach is to have socket communication, where you just load both interpreters and have a socket communication to exchange data. Kind of low-level intercommunication. Or you can, as the last approach, embed the runtime. I mean, you can load in Python the Perl interpreter and get some Perl code running. You can do that. So I think this maybe is the better approach. And that's why I will speak about Mono afterwards, because this is the way, or one of the most modern way to do that in a quite elegant way. You have no standard scripting engine. I think this is the next point. I mean, I was dreaming really since many years. You just write some code, you can script it. You don't have to program anything. The GNOME or KDE world try to do that, but it's not really where I want it to be. Do we really need different Python, Perl, Ruby, GTK implementations? I mean, every one of these projects is having its own wrapper methodology. So one could put that on another level and just put some code into GTK implementation, and the wrapping could be done automatically. Of course, you have things like Swick where you can wrap C code, but I don't like that. For example, the next thing is the generic C sharp wrapper plus the Mono runtime embedding. Nobody has really tried that. I did some experiments, and made Mono quite astonishing thing for me. Loading the Mono runtime is really this very cheap. It's fast compared to, for example, loading a Java runtime. On that, if you have a generic wrapper, and by method and class introspection, you can really have an interpreter loading this runtime and calling methods from a generic wrapper. This can be done. It hasn't been done for all the scripting languages, but it could be. So, no standard scripting interface. And a lot of our frameworks today force you to stay with them. I mean, application lock-in or application server lock-in. Have you ever tried to mix a J2E, SOAP, and PHP application? I mean, has somebody done that? You can, of course, but these are mostly separate worlds and they don't really communicate to each other. Things like the remote portlet or other certifications from the Java world, I think, are very relevant in that world, but nobody looks at them. It's just a Java-only thing. That's what I mean with architecture and interoperability. Yeah, but as I said, but choices of architecture is bad. Application server interoperability, which is, of course, not that low level as it has been speaking before. It's quite high. Everybody's speaking about web services. Well, they solve some of the problems, but certainly not all. You have things like Renode method invocation, which is a protocol in the Java world, which is implemented on .NET, and you can just call that. This is one approach one can do. But what I really feel the need for is a universal application container, and one which is led by the open source free software community. Why not mix JBoss, Geronimo, or one of these application servers with Mono? You don't force anybody to use anything. You just make it possible so you can run component in this universal application server. Also the Java world, I think everybody's speaking about J2E. It's kind of God-given thing. I mean, this is overbloated, not really object-oriented. And there are a lot of clever guys in this community which really try to do things with J2E without enterprise Java beans, kind of new small containers like the Spring Framework, which is a new kid on the block. And why, we should just take the best ideas from these both worlds and embrace them. I mean, this is a strategy from a company we well know. We should embrace the ideas, but not necessarily stick to the frameworks. The last thing I think where we don't have really an architecture is kind of open source enterprise application bus on the desktop or even on the system layer. Integrating, for example, web services, DBus technology, which is used in GNOME and KDE to have some intercommunication of the components, or other technologies. We have to be open here, some kind of plugin API. And what I call the universal FOSS namespace, not just making possible to look KDE and GNOME widgets the same, but really to see how can they integrate more tightly in a universal namespace. Why do I speak about that? How many minutes? Okay, last part for Mono then. What I see us as a free and open source community, we should act as a universal system integrator, setting our own agenda, not just following J2E or .NET or whatever. And why I say that? Because I think otherwise we will be the legacy systems of tomorrow. And I mean this really seriously. I see a lot of Linux projects which solve very nice problems, but if you look at from a longer perspective, I'm not sure these systems will be easily integratable in your architectures. And personally, I don't want to be a legacy system. I mean, legacy system just means it's difficult to integrate. And all this I'm speaking here about is integration. Well, I switch over that part, good things, bad things of Unix. I mean, where Unix failed is really on the desktops. Remember CDE? I mean, nobody's speaking about that. X11 shows its age. Apple does some nice things there. This should be somewhat standard. The free desktop org project, I think this is the way to go on the desktop. Too many GUI toolkits. I mean, this was a thing Unix didn't do in the X11 protocol. I mean, this was good at that time, but they should have done it later. We don't have any standard high-level APIs for calendaring, for example. I mean, when you implement a cron job functionality, I would be that as an interface to a calendar with exception handling and whatever, for billing, for clustering, whatever. All these kind of things the Java world tries to do, we should put it back in, get it back into our hands. That's what I'm saying here. And what Michael Thiemann said today, we should allow new technologies to be adopted in Unix. And this is not just not possible. Aspect-oriented programming is quite in the mood right now. Just think about weaving aspects into the boot or init process with shell script. Just forget it. I mean, if you had other languages there, you could say while booting, okay, this time I want to have certain things. Each call gets a logging before and afterwards. This is what I can do with aspect-oriented programming or configuration on the fly. You can do that. So what is Mono? I think 2 minutes more. It was a project started by Miguel de Casa, Ximion, a lot of people working on that. It's implementing the .NET framework. It uses some ECMA ISO standards, which have been published by Microsoft. I mean, I think there we are on the sure side at this place. At other places, we aren't certainly not. It has a C compiler, common language runtime, the virtual machine, and the JIT and precompiler. It really compiles, if you want, down to object code. What is nice, you can run Java on top of that, at least the free Java, and it's amazing what you can do if you compile the Java on top of this JKVM virtual machine down to object code. Java gets quite fast that way, and it's very, very trivial to wrap CV APIs. Well, the roadmap won't speak. I think these are the last two charts just to show you what is one has to be aware of. This mixed stack view where we have some ECMA standards, where you have some Linux bindings, and where you have some Microsoft APIs which have not been opened. I mean, the base is open, but not everything on top. You should really separate the stacks. The Mono runtime, which uses these ECMA ISO standards, I mean, this is as safe as every other framework. The Mono libraries and the whole stack we built on our own, like GTK Sharp, Gnome Sharp, Mozilla Sharp, OpenOffice Sharp, Evolution Sharp, whatever. This is the thing we should use, not this ASP.NET, Ada.Net, Windows.forms. Therefore, I completely agree. We don't know if Microsoft will like that when this succeeds. But on the right side, I think we are on the safe side. And what makes Mono really cool is this ability to have scripting languages or whatever other languages on top, use a generic wrapper and just call C routines. This runs quite good. And I think my time is over. So this was my point. Thanks.